All right, what's going on, everybody out there? NFL Exporter here with you, heading into Week 12 of the NFL and fantasy football season. Got a great show for you, as always. Thank you for joining the Master Plan here on Blog Talk Radio and Fantasy and Sports and Politics. Again, got a great show lined up for you today, so let's go ahead and get the ball rolling. Let's make sure that you have the call-in number, which is 347-637-3220. Again, that live call-in number is 347-637-3220. If you need any help with your lineups today, have any questions, need some advice, please feel free to hit us up there on that live call-in number. Be more than happy to answer all your questions today. We're going to go by each game. Got a full slate with the exception of only two teams are on bye, and so got a lot of games to cover. Certainly is going to be a great show that we have today. Real quickly, make sure that we also are taking questions online, so you can hit us up on Twitter. You can catch myself at NFL Exporter. You can also go to facebook.com/NFL Exporter. For both of those, the spelling there is NFLEXPORTER. Just go ahead, leave your question or your comment right on my Facebook page, or send me something on Twitter. I'll make sure to answer your question right here today on the show. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of our headlines heading into today's action. So far, at least at this point here in the morning, as we are a couple hours away from game time, Lions running back Reggie Bush, Texans running back Arian Foster, both of those guys highly unlikely to play. So that is going to be a game time decision. But I think right now, a couple hours before game time, if that is the status for Arian Foster and Reggie Bush, both of those guys unlikely to go today. So I think Bush has been an afterthought. I don't think anybody has relied on Reggie Bush this season at all. I can't even recall, but I think he only has maybe one or two touchdowns this year. So he's not somebody that anybody really was concerned about. But certainly for Arian Foster, he's unable to go. What a big hit that'll be. He'll be out of your lineup for the last 3 weeks, and we're heading into the playoffs. So, you know, hopefully you're in a good enough position that if you, Arian Foster is on your roster and has not able to go today, hopefully you have backup running back Alfred Blue. Did an outstanding job last week in Foster's place. If not, we'll certainly be throwing some options at you throughout the course of the day. But things are thinning out right now. I'm quite sure a lot of people hit the waiver wire earlier in the week. So, you know, we'll definitely do the best job we can to give you some guidance and direction there. Right now, Julius Thomas, the tight end for the Denver Broncos, he is questionable. So they are not sure if he's going to go or not. Let me check real quick. I believe that Denver Broncos game is a 4:25 start on the East Coast. So he's got a little bit more time to get things, get himself together here. Also, looking at the injury report for today, I know there were some concerns about Marshawn Lynch. He's good to go. They basically just kept him out of practice to allow him the necessary rest that he needs. Larry Fitzgerald is another guy that I know that everybody was wondering what's going to be the situation. Now, traditionally, Fitzgerald is a guy who had not performed well against Seattle the last couple of years since that Legion of Boom had been established. And so, you know, he's a game-time decision. If he's playing, though, he's not somebody that I'm going to recommend for you today. We'll obviously get to that a little bit later on in the show as well. Just taking a couple other looks here around right now, the early injury report. That pretty much seems to be it. You know, as we go through these games, we'll certainly make sure that we have the latest injury updates for you. To get the show started today, we'll just go ahead and take a look at our lineup here before we get into our games. You had Kansas City lose to Oakland on Thursday Night Football. That was a pretty big loss there for Kansas City. Very embarrassing loss. It's so funny how it works in football. After the game is over, it's always evident and clear to see, you know, with who won the game, exactly why. what the outcome of this one should have been. And this is one where I certainly kind of seen the writing on the wall. These Thursday night games are the most unpredictable thing in the world. There was a lot of rain early. But when you just look at the landscape of this, you know, every NFL team at least wins one game, you know. And I know that for the Raiders, it certainly looked like that may not be the case. But if you figure who else, who could they beat? You know, everything worked out perfect for the Raiders. Kansas City's offense, very low budget. They mainly just lean on Jamaal Charles. You know, were able to get off to a good start. Running back of Latavius Murray was your guy who had the big game there with two touchdowns in over 100 yards on only five carries. I left the game early with a concussion, or he would have had a huge day. I don't think too many people had him in their lineups, but for those of you who did, great job. He had an outstanding game there. Jamaal Charles did his thing as always, had, 120 all-purpose yards and a touchdown to chip in 18 points for you. Alex Smith, I don't know how many people had him in, but it's amazing. You see this guy struggle. All of a sudden, he's out there putting up some numbers. He had a good game for your fantasy team, ends up coming back with over 200 yards passing, two TDs. Travis Kelce, tight end for Kansas City, had a decent day with four catches for 67 yards. But this one was quiet, you know, a game that certainly seen the tie go back and forth. But at the end, the Raiders got their first win of the season. We're going to run to we're going to run to our first commercial breaks. And when we come back, we'll go ahead and start previewing our Week 12 games around the NFL. So make sure to stay tuned. It's the NFL Exporter. You are listening to the Master Plan.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the Master Plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the Extra Point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on The Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety. Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All All right, everyone, welcome back to the Master Plan with the NFL Exporter. And let's go ahead. It's time to hop into our Week 12 games of NFL action this week. And once again, your main headlines right now is that the Texans running back Arian Foster right now very unlikely to play with that groin injury still hampering him up. And also Reggie Bush, for those of you who somehow, some way, are still relying on Reggie Bush. He is very unlikely to play today in today's game as well. Let's go ahead. Let's hop into our first game. We have the Cleveland Browns traveling to play the Atlanta Falcons. And this is a very interesting game here. Now, obviously, the biggest news here is Josh Gordon, the star wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. He's back in the action today. Has served his suspension, and he said he's hungry. He's motivated. He said he's happy that his team is in the playoff race, and he plans on tearing the league up. I'm quite sure that the Browns aren't going to waste any time trying to get him involved, try to get a kickstart to this offense that has been inconsistent throughout the course of the year, but certainly you're figuring Josh Gordon as well as Jordan Cameron being out of the lineup. And then you're also looking at the running back circus that they've been having out there all year. So certainly understandable, but that's the big news. Josh Gordon, his return to the NFL, we're all anxious to see it, and I think there couldn't have been a better game for him to come back than against this Atlanta Falcons defense that has proven to be a very suspect this year. When I take a look at this game, I'll start with the home team, the Atlanta Falcons. And the Falcons as well, very inconsistent. 4-6 on the season. Their four wins, all against their sorry division rivals in that NFC South. They've beaten Tampa Bay twice. They've beaten Carolina once, and they've beaten the New Orleans Saints. They haven't beat anybody else this year. So when you're looking at Atlanta coming into this game, and it's pretty much the usual suspects. You know, I think the main guy we're looking at here is quarterback Matt Ryan. Started off the season red hot, especially at home. But again, when we're looking back in hindsight now, we see that the teams that it was against were all losing teams. These teams were not good by any stretch of the imagination. And so, you know, Matt Ryan, tough matchup today at home. Now, I will say that the Browns being without defensive tackle Phil Taylor is certainly a situation that's going to help Atlanta out a bit as far as the pass rush and the run. But I think we'll be anxious to see, you know, when you look at the wide receiver positions, Rhodey White, Julio Jones, these are guys you have in your lineup today. Tough matchup. You know, I'm not sure. I'm thinking Joe Hayden is going to be on Julio Jones. I know Julio Jones would have a speed advantage there, but Hayden, one of the best in the business. And then you have Skrine on the other side who will be covering Rhodey White, a very tough, hard-nosed player. Certainly can hold his own. We've seen him with a couple of interceptions a couple of weeks ago on Thursday Night Football against the Bengals. So also for Atlanta, you have running back Steven Jackson, who certainly has factored in a lot more lately. They've decided to make him the feature back. You see Devonta Freeman getting a little work. So when you're looking at Atlanta today, Julio Jones and Rhodey White are guys you start every week just based on sheer volume. You know that Matt Ryan is going to look for these guys early and often in the passing game. Rhodey White has come on strong lately with back-to-back weeks of over 70 yards in a touchdown catch, so you certainly like that there. Julio Jones is the guy we're looking to show, we're looking for to show up today. Seven straight games, he has not found the end zone. And he's still looming right around the top 10 in fantasy wide receivers, so certainly putting up the yardage, but getting that end zone is key. We'll see if he can break that trend today. Again, a very tough matchup against Cleveland Browns defensive back Joe Hayden. Steven Jackson, again, that should be a flex play at most for you today. I know there's some running backs on bye. You have a lot of injuries and things of that nature. So when I'm looking at Atlanta today, I would start all their starters with confidence. That'd be Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Rhodey White. Steven Jackson, if you need a flex. I like Matt Bright, though, their kicker in this one at home. I think he certainly has a lot of opportunities to pump in double digits for your fantasy football team. But, again, be careful. Matt Ryan and this offense have not played well as of late against tougher defenses. And, again, I think Phil Taylor being out of the lineup is going to spare them some against the pass rush, but very good pass defense here for the Cleveland Browns. So it's going to be interesting to see how that matchup shakes out. When you're looking at the Cleveland Browns today, I think it's a situation here where You know, maybe somebody can call into the show, post to the Facebook page, post to the Twitter page. If anybody out there knows who the starting running back is going to be today for the Cleveland Browns. Last week it was Isaiah Crowell. The week before it was Terrence West. The week before it was Ben Tate. We know that Ben Tate is no longer with the Cleveland Browns. So whichever one of those guys is going to be the starter. And you know, I'll say this, Isaiah Crowell, he's on thin ice. If he fumbles one more time, very likely he'll have his role diminished. You know, he'll get his carries significantly reduced. But just now with only Tate and West, we don't know what the timeshare situation is going to be like. So if you're playing either one of those guys today, I have them ranked as a flex at most. Again, I just don't like the whole guessing game that goes on with the Cleveland Browns backfield. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, you look at Brian Hoyer today, certainly. You know, there's some quarterbacks out there, a la Russell Wilson, playing against a stout Cardinals defense today. Certainly, I think a guy like Brian Hoyer has a much easier matchup. Hoyer last week in the losing effort to Houston, 330 yards, a touchdown, interception. Now, you certainly want to see those touchdowns up. But, again, it's the Atlanta Falcons defense has proved to be very suspect. So I think Hoyer has a nice a game today on the road against Atlanta. Certainly does well out of play action. And now you add back into the equation the deep threat of Josh Gordon, stretching the football field out, just making big plays on top of Andrew Hawkins. Life should get a little bit more easier for him working underneath as well. Moving on to our next game, Tampa Bay visiting the Chicago Bears. And you certainly like all your studs in this one. I guess it's mostly a one-sided stud situation, with the exception of rookie Mike Evans for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You got to love what this kid is doing right now. Right now he's tied with Randy Moss for the NFL record for a rookie with three consecutive games of over 100 yards receiving and at least one touchdown. And a very favorable matchup here again today. The Chicago Bears defense, very suspect. We've seen them all season long struggle. They are at home, so that's going to help. But I certainly expect for Mike Evans to have another big day. Josh McCown playing his former team, the Chicago Bears. So I think there's some added incentive in here in this game for McCown to come out and do well. I think he's another quarterback that you want to look at today if you do have a tough matchup. You know, Phillip Rivers is playing against the St. Louis Rams. That defense is playing extremely well right now in the season. And again, I also mentioned to you earlier, Russell Wilson, I think he's probably like the top fantasy candidate at the quarterback position that if you have a huge dilemma on your hands. And I think Josh McCown certainly can pay dividends for your team today going against this week Bears secondary. Right now, I'm not advising that you touch any of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers running backs. Too fickle there. Number one, Tampa Bay is not running the football effectively. And number two, you know, you don't know who's going to be the guy. You know, Charles Sims seems to be picking up the bulk of those carries right now. That could change at any given time, but it's just very confusing trying to figure that running back situation on Tampa Bay. So I just advise you to stay away from them altogether. I think the guys that you certainly want to look for today are those two I mentioned, Josh McCown as well as Mike Evans. Vincent Jackson, I think he's a strong play today as well. Again, not sure how quite motivated Jackson is to be playing football right now, but it is a very favorable matchup. You have to figure that with the emergence of Mike Evans, defenses are focusing on him, which is going to leave Vincent Jackson in one-on-one coverage, again, against the Chicago defense. It just gives us a ton of big plays. So I certainly like the passing options today for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chicago Bears, it's the usual suspect, as always. Like last week at home against Minnesota, another very favorable matchup. Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett, you're playing all your guys. Keep a close eye out for Alshon Jeffrey. Seen him pop up on the injury report list this week with a hamstring. I don't think it's anything serious. I haven't really heard too much all week, but it's certainly a situation you want to keep your eye on, especially if you're looking to get in the playoffs and have not made it in. Keep an eye on that. But certainly in that Chicago-Tampa Bay game, I expect for some points to get put up, and I expect for those fantasy studs I just mentioned to be the ones to do the damage. Moving over to our next game, Cincinnati is playing Houston. And we got a couple running backs in this one that we're anxious to see what is the latest word here on the injury. You have Giovanni Bernard. He's missed the last 3 weeks due to injury. He is set to return today. He has a probable status coming into that game today against the Texans. And you have Aaron Foster, who we mentioned is very unlikely to play today. Kind of disappointing. This guy, when he's been in the lineup this year, has been unbelievable. I think right along with DeMarco Murray, has been the most consistent running back in fantasy football. He's just missed more games than Murray. So certainly want to watch for that there. Make sure if he plays, you may be reluctant to have him in. Again, right now, if he's very unlikely to play, if he does get on the football field, high chance that maybe he re-aggravates that. I'm going to get things started here with the Cincinnati Bengals, and I love A.J. Green today. I think this is a prime matchup for him. If you look at this Houston Texans defense and the way that they've struggled to stop the pass, currently ranked 31st in the NFL, second to last. So if you think of what Jeremy Maclin was able to do against his defense a couple weeks ago, if you think about T.Y. Hilton and what he was able to do earlier this year, had a big game, 13 catches, 224 yards and a TD. Maclin had 187 yards, two TDs. I think A.J. Green poses that same type of threat, a guy who can certainly beat coverage deep, get behind the safety and make things happen downfield. That's certainly one of his signature and MOs is the deep ball and just making big plays happen in the passing game. So I like him. Andy Dalton. Again, if you need a backup quarterback, I will be reluctant. You know, the matchup is certainly there for Dalton, but I don't know about your fantasy owners out there. I myself, I've got burnt too many times by Andy Dalton. He's too up and down for me, again, on paper. And there's no reason, you know, we should be going with Dalton this week with full confidence based on he's got Muhammad Sanu, he's got A.J. Green. You know, Jeremy Hill has been running the football extremely well behind him. Yes, J.J. Watt is going to bring a ruckus, but Andy Dalton, it's a roll of the dice with this guy every week, let's face it. And I myself, I can't afford to touch him. I had him a couple weeks ago in that Thursday night football game against Cincinnati. He gave me negative 3 points, and I just can't touch him again. Nonetheless, though, look, the matchup is favorable. You know, I certainly don't want to go on personal taste buds here. If you need a quarterback in today for some odd reason and you're not interested in Brian Hoyer or Josh McCown, Andy Dalton, you know, he's certainly worth the look, at least statistically and on paper. He's got a great matchup today against the 31st-ranked pass defense. But when you look at the running back position, again, Giovanni Bernard is supposed to be playing today, and Jeremy Hill has certainly earned more playing time. The guy has over 150 rushing yards in two out of his first three starts in his NFL career. And so I'm thinking today they're probably going to try to ease Giovanni Bernard back into the workload. I'm assuming more of a 50-50 split. I don't see him coming out the gate and picking back up the lion's share worth of carries and touches. I would probably say today the Bengals will probably look to get Bernard anywhere from 12 to 18 touches. So I think about 15 touches sounds about right. Hill is still going to get a lot of playing time, but for owners who have Hill and Bernard or either one of these guys, I think it makes it a little tricky this week because you don't know exactly how the load is going to be divvied up. So if you've been relying on Jeremy Hill, I'll say today I'm probably looking at for you maybe 60 all-purpose yards and a possible goal line touchdown. If I'm looking at Giovanni Bernard, I'm probably thinking the same thing, you know, maybe 60 all-purpose yards. So it just really depends on how these carries are divvied out. You probably want to try to put your ear directly on that game a little bit more as we approach game time, but I certainly think it's going to be a 50-50 split. Nonetheless, I like all of Cincinnati's weapons today. Again, A.J. Green, Muhammad Sanu, I love those guys on the outside. If you're desperate for a tight end, Jermaine Gresham might be a person you want to look at. A couple goal line touchdowns last week. I certainly think there'll be some opportunities for him in the red zone. And as I mentioned, for Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, you're probably looking at a 60-40, 50-50 split with Hill still getting a little bit more of the lion's share there as they work. Bernard back in, and then Andy Dalton, very risky, high risk, high reward. Could pay off for you big time today, but at the same token, could come back to haunt you. Looking at the Houston Texans, as we mentioned, Arian Foster is the big news in this one. Very unlikely to play with that groin injury. And so Alfred Blue at that point will be your guy again. Certainly put up Arian Foster-type numbers last year with 156, last week, on the road against Cleveland with 156 rushing yards on 36 carries. So I think if Foster does not play and you have Blue, certainly could feel confident about his prospects. So Cincinnati's defense ranked 25th overall. And this one as well, I mentioned Ryan Mallett. Look, if you need a backup quarterback today, there's certainly some guys available. I mentioned Brian Hoyer for Cleveland. I mentioned Josh McCown for Tampa Bay. Well, here you have Ryan Mallett with the Houston Texans. And, look, I think this is a guy with how much stronger his arm is going to be able to get the football down the field more to DeAndre Hopkins as well as Andre Johnson. You know, Johnson is a guy I made a low-end trade for right before last week's games. I traded Reggie Wayne for Andre Johnson. I'm figuring or thinking or hoping, I should say, that I like the prospects. You know, I think with Mallett in there, Andre Johnson has some new life now. And so, you know, I have Kelvin Benjamin on the bye week. I'm sticking Dre right in there. And I feel confident. You know, I think that Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins against the Cincinnati defense, I love their matchup. Start both of those guys today with confidence. Again, Alfred Blue. And don't be afraid to play Ryan Mallett. You know, again, Cincinnati defense ranked 25th overall. This game is in Houston. Love the matchup here for the Houston Texans. Moving on to our next game, you have Jacksonville at Indianapolis. You certainly have your usual suspects looming in this one. Starting off with your injuries, the Colts got hit hard last week, so you certainly have a couple players that you had to account for. I'm talking about running back Amar Bradshaw. His season is over. He suffered an ankle injury that's going to have him out the rest of the year. That automatically would elevate Trent Richardson to a higher status and give him some more value. Unfortunately, the guy just hasn't produced this year. I know that he actually had an illness that has him doubtful for this game. I'm quite sure he's going to play, but if he isn't feeling 100% well, the guy you want to look at from there is Daniel Boone Heron. Third-year running back out of Ohio State. He's going to get some playing time. You know, when Trent Richardson comes out, Heron is going to come in. So I think it's an opportunity for the young guy to show exactly what he has out there on the football field. And so we'll see how that one works out. The other injury of note was tight end Dwayne Allen. He's going to sit out this game with an ankle injury as well. Kobe Fleener is going to be behind him. And I'm advising owners, if you need a good backup tight end today, make sure you get your hands on Kobe Fleener. He's a guy who last week, Dwayne Allen got hurt early in that game. 7 catches, 144 yards. He already is ranked 10th amongst fantasy tight ends. Dwayne Allen is ranked 7th, but Kobe Fleener is ranked 10th. So even when he was in his backup role or in the game along with Allen, still ranked 10th among fantasy tight ends. So the chemistry, the rapport is already there with Andrew Luck. The game is against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think you're going to find a tight end that you could have picked up off the waiver wire if he was available. I know he was a hot pickup this week, but certainly want him in your lineups today. As I mentioned, otherwise than that, you got all your usual suspects in for Indianapolis. You got Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne. I think this is a good matchup for him today at home against Jacksonville. You know, you look at Jacksonville, you're certainly going to be playing Denard Robinson, looking for a strong outing from him. This Colts run defense for years now has been suspect. As I mentioned on Twitter last night, if you think about the last couple years, this is not new for the Indianapolis Colts run defense, and I guess if we'd have thought about that in hindsight as we're looking at it now, there's no wonder doing the ran all over this football team. Just think back to a couple years ago, and when any time that teams, especially in that AFC South Division, were playing against the Colts, think about it. You had Maurice Jones-Drew out in Jacksonville when he was still one of the top fantasy running backs. You also had Chris Johnson over with the Tennessee Titans. He was one of the top fantasy running backs, along with Arian Foster. Any time that these teams played the Indianapolis Colts, it was almost a given. The Colts have always been a team who was weak against the run. So I like Denard Robinson, his prospects today. Right now, I had this guy ranked as a strong number 2 running back for your fantasy football team. He has certainly merited that. And then, the two wide receivers that you wanted to take a look at, their top receiver, rookie Allen Robinson, went down he's done for the year. He had a stress fracture in his foot. And so a couple of my waiver wire pickups this week were Cecil Shorts III and Allen Hurns. Shorts III, last time out against Dallas, 5 catches, 119 yards. As long as he's healthy, he'll be the number 1 receiver for Blake Bortles. And then on the other side, Allen Hurns. You know, I love these number two receivers this year with talent, because when a quarterback drops back the pass, if he's not looking for his primary target, then he's looking to the number two receiver next. So that's why you've seen guys like Emmanuel Sanders opposite Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate opposite Calvin Johnson. You know, some of these great number two receivers this year putting up numbers due to matchups. So Allen Hurns, the rookie, he's the other receiver for Jacksonville. He has two games this year where he's up over 100 yards and two touchdowns. So both of those guys, if you need some help at the wide receiver position, are certainly worth taking a look at. You think Indy's going to win it handily, but Jacksonville certainly should do quite a bit of passing. And so, again, for this one, all your studs are a go. Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne. Definitely pick up Kobe Fleener if you get a chance to. Stick him in at tight end. We'll look out for Daniel Herron to see how much time he gets today. Now that Ahmad Bradshaw is gone for the season, Trent Richardson a bit ill. And for Jacksonville, you're starting to deny Robinson with confidence. Don't be afraid to play Cecil Shorts III or Allen Hurns. Moving over to Green Bay against Minnesota. And for Green Bay, there's no need to get into detail about this one. You got Aaron Rodgers coming in, playing at the MVP level, 28 TDs, three interceptions. Last week, Jay Cutler against Minnesota had 330 yards, three TDs, two interceptions. You know Aaron Rodgers can do that as well. That allowed for Jay Cutler to be a top five fantasy quarterback last week. I think you take off the interceptions for Rodgers, add maybe another TD. He's going to have a big game out in Minnesota. There's no question this guy's in the zone right now. And his main culprit, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, these guys playing at a very high level. Eddie Lacy now finding himself in the fold, especially in the screen game. So you love all the Green Bay stuff today. You're playing those guys with absolute confidence. Looking at the Minnesota Vikings here, in big news that came out of Cleveland when they dropped, they waived Ben Tate. The Vikings picked him up, I guess just for some extra assurance. Really doesn't make too much sense to me. You already have Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata there. Now you're bringing in Ben Tate. So I really don't understand the move, but nonetheless, he is a Viking. He said he's going to be prepared to contribute this week. How much, I don't know. Not too high on this Vikings running game this year. Really hasn't produced much. You've had spurts for the most part. The most success from a fantasy standpoint that you've had this year has been running back Matt Asiata. He's had two games this year where the cards have fell in his favor, where he's been able to score three short goal line touchdowns. That was against the Redskins and the Falcons. Don't anticipate that today. I still think Asiata has the most value because he's going to get those goal line touches when they present themselves. Jerick McKinnon, he's the starter. Again, Ben Tate, don't know how he's going to factor in. Not too high, really, on any of these Minnesota running backs. So, again, if you're looking for definite points, you like Jerick McKinnon. If you're going for a ceiling, you're looking at Matt Asiata, hoping that there's some goal line touchdowns available. I wouldn't advise you in on any Viking wide receivers. Greg Jennings, Cordell Patterson, still too iffy for me to put in your lineup, especially this time of year when you're trying to make a push into the playoffs. You certainly shouldn't have Teddy Bridgewater in. You know, for Minnesota today, I think also maybe kicker Blair Walsh could be a strong look for you. But I think this is a game that Green Bay is certainly going to be able to dominate again, unless the Vikings can get some early turnovers or just get some momentum going. But really, another home-type game for Green Bay. They're used to this weather outside, so that's not going to be a problem. You certainly expect for Aaron Rodgers to just operate and have another surgical day at the office. Moving over, big 1 o'clock till here on the East Coast. You got Detroit playing in New England. Certainly a lot of fantasy studs in this one, and you're playing them all. I know that there's a lot of hoorah about the Patriots defense and how well they play as of late. You also got Detroit being the number one defense to town to play the Patriots. So I think that's the chess match that you're looking at today. Yes, for both of these offenses, how are you going to handle the defense? You know, last week, Detroit only could muster up 6 points at Arizona. I'm quite sure that offense is looking to rebound. Meanwhile, you had the Patriots go out to Indianapolis and hang 40 points again. And so, you know, for Detroit today, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Matt Stafford. Those are the guys you want in your lineups for sure. They can't play any worse than they did last week. And I think these guys are a bit embarrassed. I think after looking at game film and certainly if they heard from me throughout the course of the week, inexcusable. When you had that type of talent on offense, you can't score a touchdown. Calvin Johnson dropped the football. Matt Stafford, shaky from the pocket, bad play calling, scared play calling. It just was a bad game for Detroit overall on offense. So I certainly think that Matt Stafford, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, perhaps Eric Ebron. I know he had a pretty solid game last week at the tight end position. Seems like he's going to be carrying the workload there until Pettigrew and Joseph Fourier get back in the lineup. As far as running the football goes, a very iffy situation. We mentioned to you that Reggie Bush, very unlikely to play. He hasn't been the guy getting the carries all year anyway, so it would kind of be null and void, but it certainly would help quarterback Matt Stafford if Bush was there on the football field healthy to give a change of pace at the running back position and also be a valuable asset off the backfield. So Joik Bell is going to be your guy today. Joik Bell, you know, I have to check and see. You definitely check his status. I know that he popped up on the injury report for this week as well. With Reggie Bush being out the lineup, almost 100% sure Joik Bell is going to go today. If not, then take a look at Theo Reddick. Here's a guy who earlier this year, when Bush was out and Bell was just recovering from an injury, it was Theo Reddick who got 8 catches and 75 yards and scored a touchdown. He did that earlier this year against Atlanta. He basically takes on that Reggie Bush type role, catching footballs out of the backfield. When you look at the New England Patriots, I think the guy you're certainly starting every week with confidence now is tight end Rob Gronkowski. He's the leading tight end in fantasy football right now with 734 yards, 9 touchdowns. Certainly is climbing his way to the top. He's back healthy. Now he's playing confident. He's got a mean streak in him, but he's feeling real good about himself. And you're certainly looking at that's difficult for any defense, any linebackers, any safeties to match up with him. Now, we'll say you expect Ndamukong Suh, these guys to bring the pressure on Tom Brady today. I think it's an opportunity where that Lions defense, a line can dominate in the trenches. But I think it bodes well for Gronkowski because Brady's going to have to get rid of the ball quickly, and he's going to be a guy who's immediately in his sight. And, again, nobody can match up with Rob Gronkowski. He can only hope to contain him. But the Lions have some good players. You know, DeAndre Levy, one of the better linebackers in the league. Their safeties are tough. James Habago, but I think at the end of the day, Rob Gronkowski on pace to have another monster game when you look at this one on paper. It's going to be either Brandon LaFell or Julian Edelman, and honestly, I like Edelman today. You know, I think LaFell is the better overall receiver and the bigger target at 6'4". But when you're thinking about Julian Edelman, I think his quickness is what's going to be key today, getting in and out of cuts, running those short routes. I think Tom Brady will certainly be looking to hook up with him, especially coming off of play action. And you know, Tom Brady, I think you gotta start him. You know, you cannot afford to sit this guy out. The veteran has been around long enough. Yes, it'll be a tough day at the office, but he'll certainly put up the fantasy points to make it relevant. And so we hope. Last week was a disappointment. Those two interceptions were costly for some owners who lost in very close games. Over 4 points Brady's cost them. Nonetheless, I think you have to start Brady today. Other big news coming out of New England this week, they decided to sign running back LeGarrette Blount, who was waived by the Pittsburgh Steelers after conduct that was detrimental to the team that they seen as unprofessional. He is now with the Patriots, and he's ready to go immediately. I think the thing that opened the door for him even more was that the running back, Jonas Gray, who we seen last week get 201 yards and 4 TDs against the Colts, was late to practice this week, was not allowed to practice. That certainly didn't sit well with the Patriots organization. And so Blount should get some playing time today. I don't like the matchup for either one of these running backs. So, again, Detroit's defense will rank first overall. Third against the run, very difficult to run against Ndamukong Suh and company. This is going to be a game we're very excited to see how this one shakes out. Got to throw a note in for Steven Gostkowski, amongst the leaders in fantasy football, scoring points from the kicker position. Next, you got Tennessee and Philadelphia. And, you know, for Philadelphia, you're starting all your studs today. We're certainly looking to see if LeSean McCoy can get up over 100 yards again. He's only done that twice this year. Only has 2 rushing touchdowns. So we're certainly hoping and anticipating that Shady McCoy has a big day out there. I certainly think that he can get 100 yards in a TD. Will he do it? Is something that a question that we've had to answer or propose to you for far too many with too many weeks this season. Nonetheless, the match are very favorable at home against Tennessee. I expect for McCoy to perform well. You like Mark Sanchez, the matchup here. His top target, Jordan Matthews, put him in your lineups. This guy has proven over the last couple weeks that he is Sanchez's number one guy. If you look at the 2.5 games that Mark Sanchez has been in the lineup over the last 3 weeks, Jordan Matthews has 4 touchdowns in his last 3 games, has back-to-back games up over 100 yards. So definitely was a great waiver wire pick late in the season. Jeremy Maclin, strong play today as well. You like it. You know, the Tennessee Titans defense played very tough, though, last week. I can't say that. And the thing you want to factor in now as well, this weather's starting to change, you know. And it certainly can, I don't say it's not going to affect guys, but just think about the bit colder now. You know, these hits a little bit harder, getting them off the ground a little bit slower, things of that nature. So keep it in mind. This Titans defense has played tough. But I think the matchup is extremely favorable today for Philadelphia. You also want to look out, Brent Celek, Zach Ertz. I know that situation has kind of flip-flopped the last 2 weeks. But whoever's starting there, if you're in need of a good tight end as well, Ertz or Celek, one of those guys are certainly going to have a nice matchup today. Last week, Heath Miller of the Pittsburgh Steelers had 70 yards receiving. So I like that there. You look at Tennessee, I wouldn't really be playing any of these guys. Delanie Walker is back. So you certainly want to take a look at him. And I think maybe Justin Hunter could be a good look for you today. I'll tell you this much. One of these wide receivers for Tennessee is going to do something. I'm not sure if it's going to be Nate Washington, Justin Hunter, or Kendall Wright. But this Eagles defense gives up a ton of big plays. And I certainly think that's the case today, even if it's a blowout. And what you're thinking that Philadelphia is going to get a nice rebound victory at home after getting blasted last week out in Green Bay. I certainly think there's going to be some opportunities for Zach Mettenberg in that passing game to put up some nice numbers. So certainly keep that in mind. We're going to run to another quick break. When we return, we'll continue on with our Week 12 games from around the NFL. So stay tuned. It's the NFL Exporter. You are listening to The Master Plan.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, excuse me. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Master Plan with the NFL Exporter. I've got a caller coming in. Let's hit the phone lines and see who we have with us today. Yes, sir, NFL Exporter, this is the Master Plan. Who do we have on the lines with us today?
What's up, Slim? You riding solo today?
Yeah, man, I'm riding solo. What's going on, Macau?
Ain't much, all man. Right. Just calling in, check you out, see what's going on, see what you're up to, see what you're talking about.
That's what's up, man. Well, good. Thanks for calling in. This is one of our loyal callers here, Macau. Certainly appreciate you calling in. Yeah, man, we're just chopping down these Week 12 games. Going to keep it pushing over, man. You got a little bit of time. You want to chime in on some of these matchups?
Yeah, I'll chime in with you.
All right, cool. Let's move on to our next game. You got St. Louis playing San Diego. This is a 4 o'clock start here on the West Coast. And I'll tell you, one of the most interesting trends that I found in fantasy football this week is that of Phillip Rivers, a guy who currently is ranked 9th amongst all fantasy football quarterbacks. But the interesting, this was my fantasy stat of the week. Phillip Rivers fooled us. He certainly has had pulled the wool over our eyes this year. Looking at the 10 games that the San Diego Chargers have played, Phillip Rivers has 2 games where he did something very uncharacteristic. In week 2 against Seattle, he put up 24 points, 285 yards, and 3 TDs. But then last week against the Oakland Raiders, at home, he only put up 11 fantasy points, only 193 yards and one touchdown. And so, you know, you would have thought maybe those were the numbers he put up against Seattle and then the vice versa against the Raiders. But outside of that, if you look at the eight games that Phillip Rivers has played this year against these weak suspect defenses, I'm talking about his four games against the Raiders, against the Jets, against the Jaguars, against Denver. He's averaging 23 fantasy football points per contest against the tough defenses, the Cardinals, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Miami Dolphins. Phillip Rivers only averaging 10.25 fantasy points per contest. And so today, he's got that tough St. Louis Rams defense coming to town. These guys are flying high after what they did to Peyton Manning and that offense last week in St. Louis. The week before, they only gave up 17 points to Arizona's offense, and the week before, only 10 to the 49ers. So St. Louis defense coming in, just bringing the pressure, playing very well. I think this is a great matchup for them. So I will be careful with Phillip Rivers today. I'm just telling you what the trend is against top-ranked defenses, and St. Louis is certainly playing that caliber of ball right now. Be careful with Phillip Rivers today at home against the St. Louis Rams. Ryan Matthews, I'm suspect on him as well. St. Louis's run defense is very tough. And, for San Diego, I think Antonio Gates is a guy you want to look at. But I think with St. Louis playing back-to-back weeks against AFC West teams, and they've just seen what Denver brought to the table, I think these guys are going to be well-equipped to make some things happen. I think the biggest thing you're looking for is on the offensive side of the football for St. Louis. Not a lot of firepower. The guy that you do want in your lineup, though, is running back Trey Mason out of Auburn University. A young guy, got past his tough stretch of games against Kansas City, against San Francisco, against Arizona, against Seattle. Now he has a great matchup today on the road against St. Louis. He's going to get a ton of carries. Kenny Britt could be a sneaky play against a banged-up San Diego secondary. But, Mikal, I want to throw those couple questions at you that I just talked about there. Again, this year, Phillip Rivers against the weaker defenses in the NFL, this guy has excelled, averaging 23 points, but against tough defenses, only 10.25 fantasy points per contest. How do you like Phillip Rivers matching up today against the St. Louis defense that's been flying around to the football lately, getting tons of pressure? What do you see for Phillip Rivers today at home against St. Louis?
I think that sword could slice both ways. I mean, I respect Fisher and his defenses, but you know, some games they've been on. Some games they've just been off. You just like totally disappeared. You know, I know they're coming off, you know, a little, you know, being a little hyped up after what they did to Denver, but they're going into San Diego. Rivers is, you know, a little embarrassed about what happened. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking he's going to come back. You know, I think, what we're looking for from Rivers is a little bit more consistency, but, you know, he has been demonstrating that. So I'm more inclined to give him a pass on those two games, on those two defensive games, where he's gotten less fantasy points. I take the gamble on him only because they're at home, at home. Go ahead. What'd you say?
Oh no, I was just saying I have to agree with you there. Yeah, being at home, this definitely. If this was in St. Louis, I think we'd be looking at this one a whole lot.
St. Louis would just run amok if they were down there in St. Louis. I just wanted to give you a little tidbit. Look for that team to move out west, St. Louis.
Okay, and then the other guy I wanted to throw at you was, what's your prospects on St. Louis rookie running back Trey Mason? I know that starting off the year with Zach Stacy, moved over to Benny Cunningham, but once they decided to get Trey Mason the workload, young guy has certainly shown why he was one of the yardage leaders last year at Auburn. Tough runner. Man, this guy's elusive. Certainly knows how to finish off a run. How you been impressed with Trey Mason? I know he had some tough matchups.
I'm impressed with him, but I'm trying to get a line on the thinking of, Fisher or whatever. I don't know if they're going to, I don't know if they're going to go ahead and, commit to him, but, they're giving him the carries and he's performing or whatever, but I wouldn't put too much into it because Fisher's not going to commit to him. I mean, I don't. Ever since Eddie George, I mean, he has Eddie George, and what was that other guy from Tennessee? Who was that young man from Tennessee who's still playing? He played for the Jets now. Other than those two guys, I mean, he really does not. He looks for a workhorse back, but he's just not. He just doesn't commit to him. So I don't know. We'll let the time play out and see how that goes out. But I like what I saw from him.
Okay, sure thing. I like Trey Mason a lot. His running style, very tough. I think it was a nice matchup today. Just be careful, though. Sean Hill is that quarterback again for St. Louis. I think last week was an aberration. I'm still not sold on Sean Hill, and I think ultimately that's what could open up some easy opportunities for Rivers if Sean Hill is unable to make some things happen in the air. Moving over to our next game, we are certainly expecting a defensive battle here. You got Arizona traveling out to play to Seattle. I'm thinking if the Seahawks are looking at this one as an opportunity to make a statement here this week. Currently right now, three games behind Arizona in the loss column over there in the NFC West. The Cards coming in streaking at 9-1, Seahawks 6-4. I tell you this much, Arizona's coming in a confident group. It was with Carson Palmer, but late last year, Arizona went out and got a big 17-10 win on the road, and it was about their defense. And the way that they were able to limit and shut Russell Wilson, those guys down, they actually stopped the Seahawks' 17-game home winning streak. When I'm looking at this one, Larry Fitzgerald, very unlikely to play. I'm getting word in right now that they're saying he's going to need a miracle to play. And so he hasn't performed that well traditionally the last couple years with Seattle's defense on him. So now you're going to have Richard Sherman locked up on Michael Floyd. And then you got the rest of the Legion of Boom defense against these other receivers. You talk about this point, John Brown, Teddy Ginn Jr. I think this is a game that Seattle wins, though. I think that their defense can set the tone early and really put the clamps down on Andre Ellington and put the game in Drew Stanton's hands. And again, even though Seattle's defense is not what it was last year, in a game like this, this magnitude and being at home, I think the adrenaline rush, and we've seen the Seahawks defense play much better at home. So I think this is a game that Seattle wins. I think Arizona wins this the next time they play in Arizona. But as far as for Seattle's concern from a fantasy standpoint, you got some tough matchups on your hand. Number one, Russell Wilson, the quarterback. Last year against Arizona, and it was the same Arizona defense. Actually, the only person that's missing is Darnell Dockett. Other than that, and I think you can offset that with the upgrade by Antonio Cromartie at defensive back on this team now. And so basically you got the same defense coming into Arizona that held Russell Wilson last year to completing 11 out of 27 passes for 108 yards, two rushes for 32. Now, it may not be that pedestrian, but look, the Cardinals, they're very familiar with Seattle. And head coach Bruce Arians got this team very disciplined and well. So as I mentioned to you earlier, guys like Brian Hoyer, Josh McCown, Ryan Mallett, way easier matchups. Mark Sanchez, way easier matchups than Russell Wilson today. I think what you would hope for is that if a Seattle's defense can wrap up Andre Ellington, can have good field position, maybe get Stanton for some early turnovers, that'll create some easy opportunities for Russell Wilson. But he was one of my top five sits of the week. I do not like this matchup for him at all, especially considering how poor that passing game has been. Four straight games of not overpassing for 200 yards. Marshawn Lynch, you can't afford to sit him today at home. This is one of the biggest matchups today. This Arizona Cardinals run defense, currently ranked third in the NFL and giving up 80 yards, has not given up a 100-yard rusher all year long. And in comes Marshawn Lynch at home. You know he's going to go beast mode, so that's the one you want to watch out for. I think Marshawn Lynch is the only Seattle Seahawks you have in your lineup. As for Arizona, I'm not recommending too many players either. I don't think you should have Drew Stanton in. I'd be leery about Michael Floyd, even though he's going to be the main receiver. Andre Ellington, I don't think you can afford to sit him because of his all-purpose dual-threat prowess. But Seahawks, if you look at what the Seahawks defense has done to running backs who came to Seattle this year, with the exception of DeMarco Murray, the starting running backs who came out to Seattle this year, averaging only 35 rushing yards. So, again, I think Ellington can get you maybe 60 all-purpose between the ground and the air, but going to be a very difficult game. I know the Seattle's going to look to limit him early to put the game in Stanton's hands. How do you see this one working out, McCown? Again, I think the only fantasy players that are relevant will be Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch. Fitzgerald is out, so you're looking at Andre Ellington and Michael Floyd. But I think the kickers, you know, this could be a defensive battle. How do you see this one working out for the star players in this Arizona-Seattle showdown?
I'm going to go with Seattle on this one, and that's only by default. But Seattle's going to have to demonstrate that they're hungry. See, Arizona's hungry. Them boys are real hungry right now, but, you know, they're missing some of their fangs. So, you know, they're very much beatable, but that defense is more than capable of shutting down Seattle. You know you got to shut down the run, and then you've got to contain Russell Wilson. And they can pretty much do both of those things with that type of defense. So it's gonna be a slugout. I think it's gonna be a real low score game. I would not start any of these quarterbacks. Definitely, I wouldn't start Russell Wilson. I don't know if I would start Marshawn. I really don't. I mean, because, you know, like I said, you're going to look for Arizona to put the caps on him and really dare. What Arizona's going to have to do is really dare Seattle to put the ball downfield, which they have demonstrated they have not been able to do all year long. They've been, you know, doing a lot of gimmickry and a lot of trickery and stuff like that. Very innovative, very well designed. Concepts as well, and Russell has a very high football IQ. Do never sleep on that man's IQ. He's very sharp. I like the way he works in the pocket, but they have a problem getting the ball downfield. And that's all Arizona has to do, just dare him to go downfield. Just dare him to go downfield.
Yep, I agree with you there. Moving on to our next game, you got Miami at Denver. And let's face it, you know, with Tom Brady, with Peyton Manning, we've seen over the years, Phillip Rivers, another guy. I think that's what makes Aaron Rodgers so special is his ability to escape the pressure. And, you know, these guys I just spoke of, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, these guys are statues back there in the pocket. And so when that pressure comes, there's not a lot of ways that these guys can get away from that. And when you're looking at this game here, I think that teams have been taking notice. And particularly, you know, and it's a personnel-based thing. Let's face it, the defenses in the NFC West, obviously, San Francisco didn't have any success this year. But, again, they were down a bunch of guys and injuries, and it was a home game with Peyton Manning going to break the NFL record for passing TD. So that was certainly some different situations that factored in. But if you look at what Seattle's defense did against Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl last year and then again this year, you look at what St. Louis's defense did last week, now you got the Miami Dolphins defense, and you got a similar situation. And this is the problem that I'm seeing with Denver. Unable to run the football. And so with them being unable to run the football, it certainly puts a lot of pressure on Manning to have to drop back and pass the football 40 to 50 times a game. And when that's the case, you have to understand there's going to be some interceptions. There's going to be some fumbles that potentially come with that. So today for Peyton Manning, the first thing we're checking to see is his weapons around him, which is starting to go down slowly but surely. Going to be without Ronnie Hillman. He's going to be without Monte Ball. So C.J. Anderson is going to get the full workload today. But the biggest thing, you're looking at the wide receiver position. And Emmanuel Sanders, he is probable. He is more than likely going to play today with those concussion-type symptoms. He was cleared on Thursday, said that it was a clean hit. He'll be ready to go. So Julius Thomas is the next guy that you want to watch out for. Had that ankle injury. He's the one more than anybody that you probably don't want to put too much stock in the day, even if he can go. Let's face it, it's an ankle. And all it's going to take is a wrong turn or somebody stepping on it or him just tweaking it. It's probably going to be out there gimpy. So you probably want to look for another tight end today. I threw at you Kobe Fleener. I threw at you Zach Ertz or Brent Celek. Delanie Walker today. So I certainly think there's some options for you, but you don't want to trust today Julius Thomas with that ankle. And so that leads us to you're going to have Peyton Manning, and Emmanuel Sanders, and Demaryius Thomas along with Wes Welker. We'll see if he gets involved today. I think the biggest thing that's going to help Denver out is Courtland Finnegan. defensive back from Miami, is more than likely not going to play. So instead of having two tough, gritty corners in Finnegan and Brent Grimes, now you're going to be down a man, and I think that's going to hurt a lot. With that being said, I think Emmanuel Sanders gets back on track today. This guy has certainly shown that he can be, if necessary, the number one receiver for the Denver Broncos. You know that Demaryius Thomas always gets his money. But watch Peyton Manning today. Again, the matchup, not extremely favorable. Cameron Wake, Vernon Oliver, this Dolphins defense, they know how to bring the pressure. And we've seen them do it time and time again. I don't believe the Denver Broncos will lose back-to-back games. But this could be a tough outing. You know, don't be shocked to not see Denver post maybe these high points we're accustomed to. On the flip side for Miami, Lamar Miller is a bit banged up. Certainly keep an eye out for him. Knee and shoulder injuries kind of got him limited. Had a strong outing last week against the Bills. They're certainly going to be relying on the running game a lot, trying to keep Manning off the field, chew up some time off the clock. Let's see if Mike Wallace can finally get the deep ball today. You know, that's been one thing that's been missing ever since he's came to Miami. Him and Ryan Tannehill are yet to hook up on a touchdown pass of over 60 yards. And that is Wallace's bread and butter, stretching the football field. So you want to watch out for that today. Finally seen Brian Hartline get a little bit more involved. Charles Clay is a guy that I'm interested in seeing today. Denver doesn't have necessarily the best covering linebackers, more run stoppers and guys getting after rushing the quarterback. But this is going to be an interesting matchup here. Mikal, talk to me first. How do you see Peyton Manning faring today? He's likely going to be without Julius Thomas, so he's going to have Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, as I mentioned, Cortland Finnegan not going to play today. So I think that opens things up for Sanders. But Peyton Manning, running game not going well. It's going to be without Julius Thomas. How do you see Peyton Manning matching up today against a very stout Miami defense who, without question, can bring the pressure with arguably the best defensive end in Cameron Wake getting after the quarterback?
I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. You know, I would like to sit here and tell you that Peyton is going to be fine and he's going to find a way to carry this one. I just don't know. I really don't know. And then on the flip side, you know, I've said it numerous times on this network. I just do not believe in the coach down here in Miami. I think this is just like a phase for them. You know, this newfound winning and, you know, defense looking a little stout. I believe it's a mirage and it'll come crashing down on them soon. Just don't know when. And I'm gonna tell you this. I'm pulling for Peyton Manning to chop this defense up. I'm really pulling for it. But looking at the way they play and knowing some of the known weaknesses of Peyton Manning, I just can't like. I really can't go 100% on about 65 for the Broncos.
Okay. And then my other question to you today, Ryan Tannehill surprisingly ranked 10th amongst fantasy football quarterbacks, 17 TDs, 7 interceptions, ranks 4th amongst quarterbacks rushing the football with 261 yards. It's definitely a nice boost there. This Denver Broncos defense, certainly not living up to what we thought. It's basically the same Broncos defense. It seemed like wherever Peyton Manning goes, these defenses, you know, I don't know if they're so relaxed because Manning in that offense is always capable of hanging 30-plus points. But, you know, they brought over T.J. Ward. They brought over DeMarcus Ware. They brought over Aqib Talib. Von Miller is healthy this year. Yet this defense still is not performing. These free agents are not making an impact. How do you see Ryan Tannehill, quarterback for Miami, matching up today against Denver's defense, who plays much better at home? I think DeMarcus Ware is a little banged up. He may not go, but Denver's defense certainly are not stout, playing at a level that we thought they would with all these new faces in town.
Yeah, I pretty much knew that Denver was grasping at straws when they were, you know, just signing everybody to these ridiculous contracts. I mean, yeah, I mean, DeMarcus Ware, I mean, signing him to that ridiculous contract, if the Cowboys wasn't going to do it, I mean, why would you do it? I just didn't understand that. And, you know, going through numerous years of the Redskins, you know, just hiring free agents and bringing them in and trying to plug it in, it never works. It never works. Maybe after the second or third season, but never in the first season when they bring in these free agents. And then you really have to be suspect if they have a really good first season, you know. So, I you know, the bomb as far as, you know, defensive minds in the game. Ryan Tannehill, I got a healthy respect for Ryan Tannehill. I kind of feel bad for him. I don't like the coach, you know, and we can go down that road again. But I really like this kid. You know, he has a lot of promise. In this game, I just think that as long as he doesn't make any big mistakes, you know, they should be fine. And he's shown that he, you know, this year that he's better at, you know, managing the game and not making as many mistakes as he did, you know, in his rookie year and the year after or whatever. But I think it should be an interesting game. But I'm still going to lean towards the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think with Tannehill, like you said, inconsistency has been an issue. It just really depends on how this game goes. Like you said, after being embarrassed last week, you would think Denver would come back strong, but another stout defense, and it just really depends on how the game goes. But I think at the end of the day, his numbers can possibly add up. But I wouldn't trust him playing out at Denver if that pass rush gets going early as well. Moving on, Washington, San Francisco. Certainly in this game, I think that coming into the season, despite San Francisco's stout defense, this was a game that we felt that you would be talking about everybody from a fantasy standpoint, but certainly not the case. And I'm going to start with the 49ers. I'm not going to start with the Redskins and their troubles. This 49ers offense, it is not looking good at all. They struggled since the preseason. They have not been able to put it together yet. For consistent, I'm talking about we haven't seen the Niners in three straight games this year play the same caliber of offense. They've been juggling with their identity, running, passing. Kaepernick, very ineffective. Offensive line continues to struggle in pass protection. So you look at San Francisco, this was a big indicator here. Last week, they had five interceptions, the 49ers beat against each. And all the 49ers was turn that was one touchdown, and so that's saying a lot, you know. If you get five extra possessions, and your offense can only put up one touchdown, absolutely pathetic. It's inexcusable. It's just flat out pathetic. Watching this 49ers offense operate right now. Now, granted, this week you had the Redskins, a very weak secondary. They're kind of tough against the run, but a weak secondary. And so, you have to play the odds. I don't think you're playing Colin Kaepernick too much in fantasy football at all this year, but this is certainly a game that you want to have him in. I certainly like the 49ers offense in this one against that Washington defense, especially if the defense continues to play at a high level. Get RG3 in that offense in trouble early. So you play Colin Kaepernick today. You play Frank Gore today. Certainly Anquan Boldin and Michael Crabtree in line for strong games against a very, very weak Redskins secondary. Vernon Davis been missing all year. We don't know what the status with him is. Injuries, frustrated, whatever the case is, he's been missing in action. So you certainly like Kaepernick, Gore, Boldin, and Crabtree today. I love the 49ers defense as well. This unit has not taken any setbacks this year. I would say outside of the one game that they were blown out against Denver, outside of that, and maybe slipping up, you know, letting Drew Stanton hit them up for a couple of touchdowns and no interceptions out in Arizona. But other than that, 49ers defense has showed up every single week. Like I said, they're flying high. They're flying to the football. Five interceptions last week against Eli Manning. So I like their defense today. Again, the situation is so sensitive. It's so thin right now in Washington that it is in an early interception by RG3, an early fumble, a couple missed throws. And you can see this team break down, just internally toxic to itself right now, are these Redskins. When you look at the Redskins today on offense, you are not starting RG3. It is not in your best interest, just not playing well right now. Let's put the criticism to the side and just look at strictly from a football standpoint, and he's not the quarterback that we know from his rookie year, not making the proper reads, throwing the football late, being inaccurate. He's just not putting it together. And I think it's that knee. You know, he's not confident in his ability to run the football or to be able to escape pressure. So I don't like RG3 today. It's going to be tough outing for Alfred Morris. You're hoping that he can get some goal line carries. But outside of that, 49ers defense ranked 7th in the NFL against the rush. He can probably get you 75 to 80 yards, tough yards today. but I don't see him getting in the end zone. You always play DeSean Jackson. He's the big play guy at receiver, so you certainly like his chances. But the 49ers, again, ranked fifth against the pass. These guys are amongst the league leaders with 16 interceptions. Pierre Garçon, we don't know what's happened to him. He's turned into an afterthought. Not quite sure if Jordan Reed is playing today. If not, I think Niles Paul, a faster receiver, gives him a better chance. But you want to be careful. This may be a day overall that you, besides DeSean Jackson and Alfred Morris, I don't think you can afford to sit the big guy today. But not a favorable matchup at all today for the Redskins on the road against the 49ers defense that's playing lights out. Macau, talk to me. I think we know what San Francisco potentially can bring to the table today with Kaepernick, Gore, Bolden, Crabtree. Again, Redskins' run defense holds it together, but that secondary very weak. But let's talk about the Redskins. You know, this is out your way, and I'm quite sure all week long everybody has been just crucifying RG3. The offense overall coming into the season on paper, we all were convinced RG3. Pierre Garçon, this offense should, you know, be one of the most explosive in the NFL this year. It has not happened. How do you see those players, RG3, Morris, Garçon, who's been an afterthought, Jackson, how do you see their prospects today playing San Francisco on the road?
I'm still baffled by the whole, you know, DeSean Jackson distraction thing. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I'm still trying to figure that out. But that's a little joke from my cousin. If he's listening, take a shot at him. But anyway, this game is I don't think it's that far fetched for the Skins to go out there and play well against this team, against this defense, because they, you know, this defense, the San Francisco defense, runs kind of the same concepts that the Redskins run. It's just that they've been executing. Redskins have not. So this offense should not be, you know, this offense should not be intimidated at all by this defense, not in the least little bit. But it's still going to come down to RG. You know, everything comes down to RG3. Period. Point blank. If he gets back there and he's holding the ball, I got to press mute for a second. Sorry about that. It was a car going past. It's going to come down to him if he's going to let go of the ball. I mean, that's just it. He's just got to let go of the ball. And he's not getting in rhythm with his offensive line and the rest of the timing with the receivers. And it's a problem with them getting the rhythm because he's not getting the time to get the rhythm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so it's like, okay, you know, you start – couple of plays, you get a blitz, you get a sack, and then he's starting to run in the wrong direction. He's not stepping up, he's not sliding, and he's just out of rhythm, and he can't find a rhythm, and it's just crazy to watch the circle of madness go on and on and on. But he's just going to have to let go of the ball, and then if he lets the ball go. We all know from watching Kirk Cousins, you know, because he was just gunning the ball, that, you know, he was prone to interception. So not only does letting the ball go an issue, but the decision-making is going to have to be there. And for some strange reason, I mean, I'm seeing receivers running wide open, and he's just not letting the ball go because he's gun-shy. I don't know what is going on with that. He's going to have to get that straight. If he does not get that straight, he's not going to be a quarterback in the NFL at all, period. But I really think that they're gonna take an L today. But I don't think it's going to be as ugly as everybody's predicting to be. I don't think that San Francisco is going to, you know, straight just cream them. But they're going to win the game, but they're not going to win decisively. And it's going to kind of surprise a little bit of people. If RG can let go of the ball, just throw the ball and trust in his receivers, it'll be a totally different game, vastly different game. If not, they're going to tumble and fall and, you know, and just burn in the flames for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I had a chance to watch some video, and this is exactly what you said. RG3 just not getting rid of the football. when receivers open, holding on to that football way too long. If he makes that change, could see some drastic changes in that Redskins offense, which is a game we're going to be watching, though, because, again, with the way that this locker room has internally become toxic to itself. Like I said, it's certainly a situation where an early pick six, a couple early turnovers, and this thing could completely fall apart. Our Sunday night football game, Dallas playing the New York Giants. I think we don't need to really go overly into detail. You're starting all your studs. Neither one of these defenses are scaring anybody. So for Dallas, you're certainly playing a three-headed monster in Tony Romo. He's back as healthy as he can be after that bye week. Certainly still, you know, weather's getting colder. You certainly want to take a watch out. Keep an eye on his back. Doesn't take much to jar that thing loose. So you certainly want to continue to watch for Tony Romo. You're going to start him today, but let's just watch and see when he takes some hits, you know, when he's getting up off the ground, can that back hold up? But again, you're starting Romo, you're starting DeMarco Murray, you love his matchup tonight on the ground against the Giants. You're certainly starting Dez Bryant. I think that Jason Witten, who has a great history against the New York Giants, now that Tony Romo again, trying to take advantage of the short passing game a little bit more to that back is fully healed. So Jason Witten could be a nice plug-in for you today. If he's available on the waiver wire, you need a tight end. For the Giants, certainly Odell Beckham Jr. This guy has shown that he's an absolute stud. You want him starting today, as well as Reuben Randle. You know, some of my top, amongst my top fantasy waiver wire pickups this week. Over 120 yards last week. You know that the Giants are going to pass the football a lot. You know, it'll be interesting to see. It was good to see Rashard Jennings back on the football field last week. 18 carries, 61 yards, again, against a tough San Francisco defense. New York struggled, though, to run the football without Jennings in the lineup. Now that he's back, and he should be almost back to 100%. You know, it was good to see him last week be able to handle that many carries and be a part of the fat passing game. Gave you the confidence that he's going to be a full go-ahead. Also, Larry Donald, the tight end for the Giants. Keep an eye out for him. I just think this is a game where you're going to see a lot of scoring going on, either one of these defenses that dominant or that stout. What's your thoughts on this game tonight, Mikal? And particularly, have you been impressed? I know you're a wide receiver guy. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about him. I know you love Dez Bryant, but how have you been liking the performance of Odell Beckham Jr., one of the many big-time receivers in his outstanding 2014 rookie wide receiver class?
He's been doing his thing, man. He's been doing his thing. You know, I'm really impressed with him. Of course, I just don't understand why the Cowboys aren't getting that ball to Dez Bryant, man. I mean, this guy should have at least 10 catches a game, you know, at least touch. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. But Odell has been putting in the work, man. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from him. I really am. This game between the Jets, the Giants and the Cowboys, you know, it should be, you know, a rock'em sock'em type of event, but I'm not feeling that. It's like, okay, Cowboys and Giants, you know what I mean? I'm not really feeling the you know, the good NFL atmosphere, you know, of a rivalry game of this magnitude should bring. It's just not there. I don't know, you know, I don't know about Romo. Romo in his back. He did bounce back a little bit. Eli, he just had an awful game, so he's going to be looking to bounce back. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know with this entire division. You know what I mean? And at the beginning of the year, I said that this division was going to be a race to the bottom. You know, had I known my team was going to be in the lead for the race to the bottom, you know what I mean? I probably wouldn't have said that, but, you know, the Cowboys are due for their, you know, mid-season collapse. You know, they should probably start right about now. The Giants, you just don't know. You know, they seem to always come back after everybody has tossed them aside and not even pay them any attention or whatever. I just don't know. And then these Eagles, I mean, last week, they just got shellacked by the Green Bay Packers. So I just don't know with this entire division. So I guess that's like the sentiment that I have for this game. I don't know. I might watch it. I might not.
Yeah, I'll be there. Like you said, I think those are the two great points you brought out. You know, we're going to continue to watch and see. Can this Cowboys team continue to stay consistent, or is this inevitable season meltdown as the month of December approaches going to happen yet again? These Giants, as you said, very inconsistent, got off to an 0-3 start, won three straight games, have lost their last four games. So very inconsistent football from all these teams. That is going to pretty much wrap it up for our show today. Certainly, I'd like to thank Macau for calling in and chopping it up with us again. Just before we get out of here, let's make sure the things that you need to know. Arian Foster, very unlikely to play today in that Cincinnati versus Houston game. So make sure you get him out of your lineup, put Alfred Blue or a reliable backup in. For Cincinnati, Giovanni Bernard is going to play today. But, again, I believe he's going to split that workload right down the middle with Jeremy Hill. That guy has just been outstanding, the rookie from LSU in his time. Josh Gordon is going to be back today. And while I have you on the line, Macau, certainly like to get your input on that one. How do you see Josh Gordon? He's back off his suspension this year. He's starting today. Couldn't find a better matchup to start against than that sorry Atlanta defense out in the dome. How do you see things working out for Josh Gordon the rest of the season? Is he going to kind of be up and down, not to be trusted? Or I know you said he's looking to tear the league up. This is a guy you're expecting from day one with fresh legs, a fresh body, to come in here and do some major damage the rest of these last 5 weeks of the NFL season.
I think he's going to have a little bit of rust going on with this game, but I think he's got a little rapport with Hoyer based off the little time that they had together last year. And, I'm not looking for too much for him. You know, I just want to see that he gets out there and gets his feet wet. You know, I wouldn't start him if I had him on my team or whatever. You know, God bless whoever, you know, had him, you know, just sitting on their team for 10 weeks. I doubt that happened. Everybody probably tried to, immediately scoop them up off the waiver wire once he came back, or maybe a week prior or whatever. But I still try to play him with kid gloves right now, because he still got the rust. Of course, he's got the fresh legs and the fresh body, but he's got to work back into the system, you know what I mean? And he's got to get into football shape, and that's going to take at least three games, and they got like six. So I look for him to really pop off maybe next week. I don't look for him to pop off this week. Maybe next week, but definitely the week after, you should definitely see, full-blown receiver.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think, though, if you can afford to put him in the day, I say put him in. I think that because he's a wide receiver, it's not like the wear and tear. You know, just basically be running routes at full speed. Already one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. So I think against Atlanta is a favorable matchup, but you go ahead and stick him in. But outside of that, again, if you need some quarterbacks, again, we talked about Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Russell Wilson having tough matchups today. So, again, as I mentioned, Brian Hoyer at Atlanta, got Josh Gordon back, Josh McCown at Tampa Bay, Mike Evans playing at a high level. That's Josh McCown's old team. Quite sure he's going to have some added incentive there. Ryan Mallett against Cincinnati, 25th-ranked defense. I don't trust him, but Andy Dalton is going against the second-worst defense in the NFL today. And Mark Sanchez has a very favorable home matchup against the Tennessee Titans. So if you need some backup quarterbacks, we even threw Ryan Tannehill at you. I think out of everybody we just mentioned, he has the most difficult task. But those are the guys that you want to step in. As far as the Cleveland running back situation, like everyone else, I guess we'll find out once the game starts. So hard to point you in any direction there. You shouldn't have any Tampa Bay running backs in. And just overall, again, we're in week 12 of the fantasy football season, and so there's no reason that you should be having any Tampa Bay Buccaneers, any Minnesota Vikings, any Tennessee Titans in your lineup. You should not have any St. Louis players outside of Trey Mason, possibly Kenny Britt. But this is the time right now. It's not time to play around unless you are already in the playoffs and you can afford to run some different strategies to test your instincts, unless you are absolutely out and just playing a spoiler role. Nobody else can afford to make any mishaps, so make sure you don't have any of those players in your lineup. Before we wrap it up, Macau, any last words?
Just peace and blessings to you, bro. I'll catch you on the flip side.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you so much. Again, that's Macau, one of our loyal callers, pops in throughout the course of the season. Thanks for calling in. Same to you, man. Many blessings. Make sure to enjoy the games here Sunday. And don't forget, tomorrow, make sure you're here, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Not only will I have the original slated Baltimore versus New Orleans game, but I'm also going to have the Jets playing Buffalo due to that goodness, that snow out upstate up in Buffalo. They got hammered with 6 to 7 feet in the suburbs. People cannot even leave their homes. That forced that game to be played in Detroit on Monday night. So that's certainly going to change the landscape of things a little bit. You know, you're figuring it would have been outside in the cold, the snow, more of a defensive battle. The game is indoors. So make sure you're here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow for the extra point. I'll be going back over all the predictions and analysis that me and Macau brought you for a full slate of Week 12 games today. It certainly got a lot of good ones. And then, like I said, tomorrow, when you come on, we will not be an hour and a half before game time. We'll be going right in to the New York Buffalo game, reviewing all of the action today, and getting you ready for Baltimore and New Orleans. So make sure you're here with me, the NFL Exporter, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the extra point. Also, you make sure you follow me on Twitter. That's at NFL Exporter. Also, especially if you're a fantasy owner, Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. I've got tons of fantasy owners that post to that page. Very interactive. I know that you will enjoy that very much. The spelling for to follow me on Twitter and to send a friend request to me over on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. For both of those, it's NFLEXPORTER. We are out of here. It is the NFL Exporter, and I am signing off and out of here. 1100. Y'all take care. Best of luck to you in your fantasy football matchups today. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
They say